by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, True Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we're back. Thanks again for coming back. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. And Janet, we were just talking about seasons. And now we're talking about another important part of the Casper framework, and that's turkeys.
There's always something here. A turkey, a wild turkey is what we got to call them so that they know we're talking about the birds and maybe not other people, right?
I don't know what you're talking about there. I've never even heard that.
You've never called me a turkey, Drew. I know. But, you know, one of the things that we just got done talking about is how important the public is in wildlife management. You know, it is the public's wildlife. It is very important for us to have their input on how we manage it. And a lot of ways that we do that is through like public meetings, public comments. But another way is working with sportsmen's organizations. And that is a critical part of what we do. And I'm not sure that a lot of people really recognize that importance, that like the Mule Deer Foundation or the Muley Fanatic Foundation, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, all really play in what we do, whether it's by providing volunteers, whether it's gathering input, support, whether it's lobbying at the legislature for things that Wyoming's sportsmen love. But today we have someone here. John is with us from the National Wild Turkey Federation. So that brings us back to something that we talk about often in Casper, and that's our turkeys.
Yeah. And, you know, the National Wild Turkey Federation, part of the Casper mission to secure the turkeys there. And I know Brandon's still with us. And Brandon, you guys have been trapping turkeys, releasing turkeys, and partially thanks to the Turkey Federation.
That's right, Drew. So we worked with the National Wild Turkey Federation last summer to construct a new trap. So they gave us $2,000 to put towards that trap. It's a lot smaller than the other one that we have, but it makes it really useful in urban settings like we have around Casper. It's really good in backyards, around parking lots, all that fun stuff.
And I know, how many turkeys did you guys take out of Casper this year, Brandon?
So out of Casper and the surrounding, you know, subdivisions, we caught 137, which consequently was the same exact number as last year. So I'm a little disappointed we didn't beat that. But in the last 2 years, almost 300 turkeys from Casper.
Well, John, I know that you're pretty familiar with the fact of wild turkeys in Casper and how big of a story it is. But at this point, because of all the work that the National Wild Turkey Federation has done over the years, the turkey population in Wyoming is fairly strong, right?
Yeah, it seems pretty prevalent in our communities, as everybody can see with traffic and the overabundance of birds.
Have you seen a lot of improvements for maybe habitat that the turkeys are really taking in and really enjoying the fact that maybe Wyoming, who once wasn't a turkey area, is now really turkey popular?
Yeah, it seems to be. And I think Brandon does a good job of getting them in places that they can take off and not be such a disturbance with the local population of Casper.
One of the things that maybe people don't know about is, what is the National Wild Turkey Federation? I know that the organization's been around for a long time, doing some pretty big things around not just Wyoming, but the entire country.
Yeah, so it's a conservation organization, which is obviously rooted in some hunting heritage with the goal of preserving and passing that on. But really, it's for anyone that wants healthier environments with an abundance of clean water, habitat, places to recreate and enjoy.
So one of the things that you guys have done is, obviously, like Brandon said, is help secure a trap to be able to get the turkeys out of here. What are some other things that the National Wild Turkey Federation have their fingers in?
So just this year, our local chapters try to get more involved with the community. So we did the Kids Fishing Day, which is in June, out of Yesmas Pond. We helped assist kids with that. Then we did the BB gun range up at the event center for Youth Day up there, which we actually doubled our state's youth memberships by almost 50. Then we finished out the summer with a brewery bingo night over at Blacktooth, which was great. Gave a lot of prizes away. obviously looking for more opportunities in the community to get more involved.
You know, one of the things, Drew, that's been really neat is to watch these guys as these younger folks kind of come in and start to become involved in these organizations, is really creating an awareness of their mission within the community and really giving back. It's a really neat thing to kind of see their passion towards getting youth involved in hunting opportunities. And, you know, if you've ever been turkey hunting, there's a lot of sitting sometimes, a lot of calling. I guess depending on what season you're hunting in. And, you know, just teaching those kids those skills and then teaching them about the birds and what it means, you know, to Wyoming to have these birds. And I don't just mean in your backyard, you know, we're out there, they're out there on the landscape doing these things in the wild, not necessarily in downtown Casper, right? But it's really important to the future of Wyoming. And that's one of the things that we still want to remember is that, you know, hunting and wildlife is such an important part, as John mentioned, of our heritage. And so we want to keep that going. And these guys are doing a fantastic job of giving back to the community and letting people know about these fabulous opportunities.
And NWTF also, on a broader scale, they have grants available. Some game and fish folks have applied for those grants and have done some really cool timber stand improvements in the Bighorn Mountains and in the Black Hills over the last few years.
So a lot of habitat work as well. Mm-hmm.
What's the best way for someone listening to maybe get in contact with or find out more information about the National Wild Turkey Federation?
I think the best way to see what we're up to and get involved and communicate is probably through our Facebook page, which is National Wild Turkey Federation Bighorn Chapter. That's our local chapter here in Casper.
So all things turkey is what they talk about, and even conservation as a whole is what most of these organizations like the National Wild Turkey Federation look at.
That's absolutely right. And so, you know, you look at the things that are going on in Casper, and whether you're one of those people who's feeding the turkeys and you're not supposed to, that means you love those birds, right? And so this is a great organization to support in that sense. But if you also like to hunt, or if you're a wildlife watcher, or just general conservation, you know, these are the organizations that are, again, on the ground doing a habitat work, helping support a lot of those critters across Wyoming.
Absolutely. Well, John, we appreciate you coming on with this, and hope the banquet is a success. Again, National Wild Turkey Federation Bighorn Chapter is where you can go on Facebook and check that out.
Andrew, if that's a challenge, because I'm not on Facebook either, don't hesitate to give us a call here at Game and Fish, and we'll put you in touch with where you need to be.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back. It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors, where we're Rocky Mountain Discount Sports with Brian Woodward. And boy, Brian was looking as I was walking in the store today and really checked out the fishing aisle, because I've been asked twice what I was doing. Obviously, work gets in the way a little bit, but a lot of people really have fishing on the mind.
Boy, we had some really nice weather this week. I think, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, even Thursday was up in the 70s, a little different than this weekend, obviously. But, there was a lot of people out enjoying the fishing. I saw a lot of people heading to the river, a lot of guys going to the reservoirs. I heard there was, a ton of boats down at Glendoe. We were able to get out Wednesday and run the boat at Alcova, just to kind of get the first check it out, make sure everything's working properly. And we managed to catch one walleye and one trout in a couple hours. So that was pretty good. I mean, anytime you catch a walleye out of Alcova for me is a success.
Yeah, it's a tally on the board.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a, you know, the spring weather is here, so we're going to fight some rain and a little bit of snow here and there for the next a little bit. But, you know, when the day is looking good, again, you know, get in the car and go somewhere, go do something.
Yeah, and this week coming up here, I believe, you know, the golf courses start open up. So, you know, you really get that antsiness to get out there and have fun and be outdoors.
Yeah, I heard the driving range at Three Crowns is opened up on Friday, and the course itself is opening up on Tuesday. So,
yeah, so it's looking good. We're going to be out there. And one of the things that caught my eye when I was walking through the store is you don't really put this at the top of your list, but when you catch your fish, if you're going to, you know, cut cut it up and trim it out, you got to have the right utensils, you know?
Yeah, we got some pretty neat stuff in this year. Obviously, we've got just the fillet boards and fillet knives and bubba knives and all that kind of stuff that you need in the field. But we also have got in some vacuum sealers. And there's one that's really intriguing to me is there's a battery operated one. So if you're the guy that cleans your fish, you know, at the campsite or at the back of the boat, you get this battery operated vacuum sealer that fits, you know, just sits right there on the back of your tailgate and zip it down and man, you're done.
Boy, they're really moving up the technology on this stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's super cool. I mean, you know, Ziploc bags are great, but you know, if you know, a lot of times you get freezer burn and that kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. when these vacuum bags, you know, as they seal them out and they just suck all the air out of them, it's going to be great.
So come on in and check that out. And that's one of the things, you know, my dad and my stepdad have both loved to go fishing and whatever. And I see them using an old school fillet knife. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, man, the bubba knives that they have now, why not spend a little money and get in on that?
Yeah, all the new lithium technology on these batteries and stuff, just giving a lot better longevity and mm-hmm. battery life. So, yeah, and the bubba knives. Boy, you're going to invest a little bit in them, but I've had one for a couple of years now, and they are fantastic.
Well, of course, come on in and check out all that they have in the fishing aisles for cleaning those fish and catching the fish. I know that you guys go to a lot of the different shows and everything to kind of get an idea on some of the new stuff. And are there any like big new baits that are really, you know, like groundbreaking that you're thinking and seeing?
I don't know if they're groundbreaking, but you know, every year we're trying to reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of times we're taking things out of the bass market, and a lot of guys are using more jerk baits lately. So we did bring in last year the Mega Bass jerk baits, and that's been super popular. Really effective for walleyes, and even caught trout off of them. And then there's just a handful of other like new jigs that Northland has come out with. So, I mean, really hard to explain them all, but just, you know, come in and take a look through them. There's some really cool underspin ones that have some flash to them. And then there's some new ones that have good keepers on them. So if you're pitching plastics, the plastic doesn't slide down off the hook. So just come in, check them out. We got a lot of good stuff in.
And as we get through this time of the year where, you know, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold, it's hot, you know, obviously come in and make sure you have all the stuff that you need, you know, jackets and clothing and the layers.
The layers, and it's still not a bad idea to bring some hand warmers with you. I mean, you know, because those fingertips get cold, especially if this time of the year you're the guy that's throwing a jig and a minnow, mm-hmm. getting your hands wet every time you throw a minnow on there. But the hand warmers are great. You know, the fingerless gloves are great. You know, having a good baklavia, maybe a good knit hat, a good sweatshirt that you can, you know, again, layer on and layer off as needed.
So come on in and check this out. Is they've got about anything and everything you need to get out into the field or get out onto the water, and we'll all be out there and we'll be thinking, man, I wish it were fall so that it wasn't so stinking hot. You know, it's about that time to start thinking that way.
Well, I'm ready to get out and do some barbecue, and you know, I got the new Traeger grill last year. The new Woodbridge series came out, and man, it works great. So you know, getting a brisket on a Saturday when we're fighting a little rain or cold weather. And then just, you know, having people out to the backyard and just enjoying life. I mean, summer's coming.
Yeah, and of course that means that your tent camping and your camping is going to happen too. So obviously tents and cots and all the good stuff.
Of course, state park passes, ORV tags, all that stuff that you need to go out and enjoy our public lands. So we've got it here, and we're ready to help you out.
Yeah, I was just seeing that Edna's out here was just announcing all the stuff that they're doing. Well, then you want to go down to Glendo. If you just get that one pass, you can go to all those places.
Yeah, and obviously we can sell the state park passes. So can Edna's Kimball, I believe. You can also do it from home, but it's just a little clunky, guys, you know, or gals that get on there and they're, you know, I got halfway through trying to register myself mm-hmm. and then I didn't know what to do or where to go. And we can certainly help you with that process.
What about the camping side of that? Can you get those here too?
So we can sell annual camping and day use, but for the in terms of the reservations, once we set up an account for you and you have those stickers, then you can go to the state parks website and go to their camping reservation system.
Well, last year was the first year that I actually got one of the day use. Well, going to four different fishing tournaments is, you know, I mean, it's paid for at that point.
Absolutely, yeah. And then it's definitely worth having the day use. They have kind of made things a little bit easier if you only think you're going to make a couple trips a year. You can, you know, still they have a pay station, electronic pay station at the parks now. So you can stop and then put your card in and, you know, get your day use pass that way. But then you may be waiting in line. So, you know, if you get it ahead of time and just pay the annual, you'll probably be steps ahead.
Yep. Come in here to Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, get your fishing license, get your state parks passes and your ORV tags, and you'll be ready to go. It's a one-stop shop for everything outdoors.
There you go.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, there have been a few things go on this year that really have stood out to me. And you and I talked about it a little bit. We were up on the mountain this week. And the wolves that have become kind of an issue in the southern part of the state. And then another one is the hunting from the truck.
Right.
Where, you know, you and I were talking about that, and I thought, well, of course this is, you know, something to open up the grounds a little bit when it comes to coyote hunting or whatever from the air, but you have more of a better idea of what happened.
Well, there's some guys locally that had a run-in with the local game warden and I think was ticketed for actually shooting prairie dogs out of their pickup truck, which anyone that's lived in Wyoming for any length of time is like, well, there's nothing more Wyoming than shooting prairie dogs out of a truck.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're just a critter, a predator. And so that ended up going to court and then getting changed in legislature that they're like, okay, well, we're going to make some exceptions. And, you know, shooting predators from a vehicle is legal with certain exceptions.
Yeah. Right?
You can't be, you know, shooting across a highway or shooting off a road or that kind of stuff. But, you know, we've been talking about getting my dad out prairie dog hunting shooting for a long time. And it's like, you know, my dad's struggling a little bit more with the accessibility and that kind of stuff. And, you know, being able to shoot out of a pickup truck makes a whole lot of sense.
There's no exception for if you happen to shoot at a prairie dog or whatever and you accidentally hit an elk. I mean, that doesn't work like that. I mean, it doesn't ever work. So if you have to have a license for the animal, it's still not legal to hunt out of a truck.
Yeah, you can't just drive down a road and shoot a turkey out of the window.
Right. And you know, I'd mentioned the wolf issue. So the wolves outside of the northwest part of the state are predators.
Right.
And there have been some come up from Colorado because they just released 15 more, I think, in January. Mm-hmm. And within weeks, one came up and slaughtered five sheep. So,
right.
You know, those are kind of on the same level that we're talking about.
I think we'll agree that wolves are predators everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere,
but,
right.
You know, legally, they can, you know, there's certain areas that there's a quota system.
Mm-hmm.
And then in certain parts of the state, they're considered a predator where you don't need a license. But again, that's kind of, you really got to watch the regulations and see, you know, which areas are they considered predators. You know, obviously up around Yellowstone and around the park area, and there's some areas outside of that park that they are protected with that limited quota system. So make sure that, you know, if you're up in that Dubois Lander area or wherever, that, you know, you checked what the regulations are, because it might be, you know, one county, next county, it might even just be across a river, you know?
Right. Again, it's clear as mud on a lot of these situations. But another thing with that, though, you know, you and I were talking about this, and now is a pretty good time to come in and maybe check in on a 22 or to start, because the ammo is looking better than it has in a few years.
We've got a lot of ammo on the shelves, but we're starting to get a lot of notifications from Winchester and Federal and all these companies that, because of tariffs, you know, I'm going to air quote it, quote unquote, because of tariffs, there's going to be price increases due to raw materials that are going into bullets or powder or whatever else. So a lot of these companies are saying that, you know, they're seeing up to a 20% increase However, like they're going to absorb 10% and they're going to pass 10% on to the retailer. So again, if it was a $50 box of ammo, you know, it's probably going to go to 55. So it's always, you know, we've been talking about a lot of things, you know, about just the cost of stuff and, you know, whatever it's going to cost you this year, it's probably going to cost you 3 to 5% next year and 3 to 5, you know, so, mm-hmm. you know, if you're looking at, you know, buying, you got a rifle in mind that you've been wanting to have for a long time, you know, it's probably no time like the present, you know, to get it. Throw it on a layaway, you know, make the payments, you know, so you can secure the pricing. But come into the store, check it out, see what we've got, see what's available. Again, you can always go to our website as well. It's a great way to see what's available, whether it's available in the store or available through our warehouses. That'll tell you. And if you can place the order right there, the order comes right to my desk. I get it coming from the warehouse, and usually within 3 or 4 days, we'll have whatever you ordered online.
Yeah. So really, you could have a great weekend in just a few days. You know, come on in, pre-plan a little, maybe grab a call, maybe grab some stuff to head out and do some predator hunting and just get out, because now's this time where we're kind of, you know, can't really go fishing all the time. We can't really go hunting anywhere. But, you know, and then you get into the mindset of, okay, well, let's start preparing for that. And the Tough Man, that tournament's coming up in a month. We're right. Just over a month or under a month from that.
Yeah, under a month. April 26th is the Tough Man up at Alcova Reservoir. You can fill out an application here at the store, or even better, you can come to the Walleye Banquet on April 12th. That's at the fairgrounds. You can come to a Rocky Mountain Discount Sports for tickets, or you can contact us through our website. We actually had a tasting this week. Corey from Occasions by Corey is catering the event at the fairgrounds. And I tell you what, their executive chef did phenomenal on the walleye, and I'm really excited about this year's banquet. Of course, all-you-can-eat walleye is never a bad deal.
Yeah, right.
But if you can come to the banquet, you can fill out a membership there. If you do a sponsor table, then you get a handful of memberships also. And in order for us to be able to fish the Tough Man, you do have to be a member. So that's kind of our membership drive for the year. And it's going to be a good event. We got some good products. We got lots of guns. We got lots of fishing tackle, stuff that you'd like might want to upgrade on. And come see us.
Yeah, you know, and another cool thing about that is the auction that is going on that night. There's a lot of great items like you talked about, but the money raised for that stays right here and goes to providing kids with fishing poles and taking care of things like the tanks out at, you know, Dan Spee's.
Yeah, you know, we've done a lot of great things. The money stays in Wyoming 100%. There's no paid members. We're not having to send a percentage to a national club like some of these other organizations. Yeah, right. So, you know, I look at some of these organizations and they've got, you know, paid directors that, you know, are making, let's say, even $40,000-$50,000 a year. And it's like, boy, how many banquets do they have just to pay for that guy's salary, which isn't going to any, you know, habitat wildlife enhancements, you know. So ours, you know, we'd give out about 1,200 to 1,500 fishing poles to different events, kids events out throughout the year. We do life jackets for the Life Jacket Loaner Program. We've got a scholarship up at Casper College. We do a lot of funding for some different game and fish projects, like the walleye tanks that are out at Spee's, mm-hmm. where they're raising, I think, last couple of years, over 120,000 walleyes that are going back into our reservoir systems. So it's a great organization, and it's actually just a fun night, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, we try to not just cater it to just, you know, the walleye guys. There's a little bit for everybody. And if you don't like walleye for some reason, we will have a buffet line of pulled pork also. So if your wife isn't a big fish eater or you're not a big fish eater, come anyways, we'll be able to feed you.
Yeah. You don't have to particularly like to eat fish to enjoy fishing. So, you know.
But if you haven't had walleye, you're missing out.
Yeah. Yeah, guaranteed. You are. Also, some other events that are going on. And I know there's another one coming right before the walleye banquet, too.
Yeah, we're working with a group called the Casper Family Connections, and they're doing an event called Caring for Kids, Boots and Bling Barn Dance. And this is going to be held on April 5th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Industrial Building. This organization, just on a brief idea of what they do, is they help find housing for kids that either can't live with one of their parents for whatever reason. It gives them kind of, instead of putting them into a foster care, just kind of gives them some temporary housing options for them to give them a safe environment to be in. So it's a fun night. We've been there the last couple years. We do a kind of a gunapalooza, so we'll have about 10 different guns to choose from. We'll sell a deck of cards, and then all of a sudden we'll sell a gun or give away a gun. And we'll allow the gun that is on the board. It's not one of those typical ones where, oh, man, that guy just got the gun I wanted. Now this is going to be, hey, that guy just got the new Smith & Wesson Bodyguard. I want one too, so I'm going to put in for that one. And we might sell the same gun 10 times. So it works out good for the people that are in the auction, always being able to get a gun that they, if they win, the gun that they want, as opposed to getting the last pick of the board.
Right, yeah.
So it is pretty fun, and they've got a few other different things going on, but they'll have a meal. They've got a band that night, Jesse Cornette and the Revolvers. Sounds cool. I've never heard them, but it's another good night, you know. And it's a good, if especially with the, you know, some of these weathers on the every weekend, the weather is not so great, and
yeah,
not much you can do. But
yeah,
you know, it's I think it's $60 a plate for this event, and if you want to get the wife out and just hang out, go get a meal and see what's going on, and help support a local organization that's helping kids, this is another good one to get involved with.
And it's a barn dance, and you never know what'll break out at a barn dance.
You just never know. Bring your cowboy hat and your boots, I guess.
There might be some blind dancing, some square dancing.
Some hooting and hollering,
man,
I don't know.
Some Wyoming swing dancing. It's going to be a hoot and a hanny.
Maybe follow up with some cow tipping at the end of the night.
Oh, they're very cool. And
the other one that's coming up, Thankful Thursday, isn't this week the Shriners?
Yeah, the Shrine Club is coming up.
And if you haven't been to Thankful Thursday, this is one of the ones you have to go to, because these guys at the Shrine Club, they work really hard at getting some really fun items for auction. I mean, and they always do really well. The Shrine Club's a great local charity that, you know, does a lot of good things for people in the community. And Craig Warner, I mean, he works hard at finding like things that make these like packages and the auction items great. So this is a good one to get to.
Yeah, you know, the Shriners are known for riding their little cars and go-karts around in parades,
and
they're giving one away, a little Fez. They have a custom-made go-kart they're giving away or auctioning off this week.
So I want to be seen driving down CY Avenue in one.
You're going to have to get a Fez and a go-kart. It'll be fun.
Yeah, and if you've driven by the store here on CY and Rocky Mountain here, you'll notice that the moose is gone out front. The gentleman that built that moose came and picked it up, and they're getting ready to raffle that off. So that organization is Marge Cares, and that is supporting the Glendo community and people in that area for medical expenses. So that people that have to travel, obviously there's no hospital in Glendo, right? But so anyone that's having to travel to Denver or around the community for medical expenses, it helps cover that. So they are going to be auctioning that off. He does a great work. I was kind of looking at that thing the other day going, how did he decide that this wrench needed to be welded onto this location to make this leg look like this? You know?
Yeah, it's so wild, too, because it's just that kind of thing where he's using wrenches and screwdrivers or
license
whatever.
Plates.
Yeah, and yet it looks like a stinking moose. So
yeah,
that's kind of a cool opportunity, too. If you fish down at Glendo and you want to help that out, too, that's another way to help out.
Well, you know, I mean, there's always a need for something, you know, and there's a lot of good organizations, especially in our backyard, you know, that, you know, maybe you don't necessarily understand where all the money for like Red Cross goes or some of these bigger organizations like Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you donate to some of these other charities that are going on in this area, the money is going to stay local, you know, and, you know, we got to take care of our own.
Right. Well, and the information for all of these events that we've talked about is here at the store. So when you stop in the next time, maybe to get your fishing license, you can just ask and they'll point you in the right direction. Get out here, check them out, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Appreciate you tuning in. Remember, you can always listen to all of our episodes on demand at the radio station's app 24/7. Today, we're talking mule deer and Mule Deer Foundation with Eric Sharp, Chief Development Officer. And Eric, welcome in on the show.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are not a stranger to the Mule Deer Foundation, but this role is kind of a new one for you, isn't it?
It is. It is. The past year or so, I was the regional director over in South Dakota and Nebraska, and just moved into this role, trying to engage more folks to help support us across the country and for some of our projects.
So is the position you're in now, is that a national that you focus on the mountain area, or are you just really focused on kind of our region?
You know, it's national. It's across the country. We've got things going on in Wyoming, South Dakota, to California, Washington, Alaska, even as far south as Louisiana, and some stuff over in Pennsylvania. So we're all over the place.
Lots going on mule deer wise then, huh?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's a good time. Mule deer really need our help, so it's good to get some folks that are passionate about it and passionate about conservation and habitat. It's a lot of fun.
You didn't mention that mule deer need our help now, because it's been a rough few years for the mule deer populations, not just here in Wyoming, but all over the United States. And are we seeing an improvement in the numbers?
You know, it really is regional. Like you mentioned in Wyoming, for you've had a couple really tough winters, CWD. There's been just a lot of impact along with habitat. And then you look at some other areas that are growing. So it really is regional. Overall, if you look at the country as a whole, mule deer do need our help. They are one of the keystone species that are down and struggling. So everything that we can do, from fencing projects to water, habitat restoration, and migration corridors, it's all going to help.
And just recently, numbers came out for 2024 and what Mule Deer Foundation did here in Wyoming. And we're talking nearly $500,000 that allotted for improving in some of these areas. And obviously we got hit pretty hard by those fires last summer. So that kind of added a few of the projects that really needed focus on.
It did. And you mentioned that $500,000. And that was just what was allocated. We're able to use those funds that are generated in Wyoming and put those up with government funds and grants and turn that into nearly $1 million. So that was just a portion of it. Over 70,000 acres benefited, 10 miles of fence, 10 plus individual herds across Wyoming alone that were benefited through the Mule Deer Foundation and folks like your listeners.
You know, and Sean, we've talked to him quite a bit, and I know there's a lot of boots on the ground moments for the entire Mule Deer Foundation, whether it's volunteers or staff members or just those that are interested in helping conservation. And to see people that are going out and doing nearly $1 million worth of work, I mean, that's pretty special, especially like we talked earlier, it's a tough time right now in Wyoming.
It is. But, you know, there's some really bright spots out there too. We just received almost $2 million to work in the forest near Du Bois with that work starting soon and some chapter rewards. Another $100,000 for a project that we're going to be working near South Kennemere on Highway 189, that wildlife crossing project over there. So we've got some really great opportunities coming up in the next year or two, and a lot of really fun volunteer opportunities coming up, working with Infinite Outdoors for some really fun and great opportunities for public access in some of these landlocked areas. And that's a new project that we're working on as well.
So after a year like 2024, where nearly $1 million, will we see the same kind of action in 2025? I mean, will it be pretty close to about the same?
You know, I would expect more. I really would. I can't, I don't have a crystal ball, but right, with the people that we've got and our volunteers that are out there and just the support we've been receiving, I'd expect to see more. I'd love to see more. You know, we can't do it without people helping, volunteering, coming to some of our events. We've got some great golf events coming up this spring. We've got our banquets going on. We've got one actually happening in Sheridan here pretty quick. We've got lots of events happening. You know, so I would expect to see a little bit more. There's a lot of interest in mule deer. We talked about them being a keystone species. And, you know, every time you put a dollar on the ground for mule deer, you're benefiting antelope and sharptails and sage grouse, not just mule deer. So a lot of other organizations get on board too, and we do some of these partner projects. So there's some momentum behind it. I'd expect a good 25 and then leading to 26 as well.
When you talk about the conservation, I mean, obviously people that live in Wyoming, they're not here for the tropical weather, right? The wildlife is really a draw for a lot of folks living here. So, you know, you're going to see guys that are working a lot with a lot of the conservation organizations. And like you had mentioned, I mean, there's a lot of teamwork that goes. I know people kind of look at it as, it's like, oh, this is your favorite team and you have to focus on this team. But in the long run, the bottom line is the more groups we have, the better chances we have of making that money to help out conservation.
Yeah, this is true. You know, I mean, there's a lot of great organizations out there, and we all carry similar voices, although it may be, you know, supporting pheasant or ducks or elk or whatever it may be. We're all out there trying to do the same thing and improve habitat, improve wildlife. And the more we can work together, a lot of these habitats overlap just because it may be a riparian area that Ducks Unlimited is working on or somebody else is working on, doesn't mean that Mule Deer Foundation isn't involved in some way. Wildlife has no boundaries. You know, they see fences, but they're moving back and forth between public and private ground, riparian areas to forested areas. So we just need to take care of all of it and really work together on these projects.
Well, I know you guys are doing a lot of work, and especially the fact that, you know, they're bumping you up to make sure that there's able to focus on making more money and getting more work done. And that really throws us back into the focus of the next couple of months. Going to be a very important time for folks to help raise money. And it's not just going to a banquet, but these golf tournaments, they sound so fun and a great opportunity.
Yeah, they are. They're a lot of fun. They're growing in popularity. May is going to be a busy month for us. We've got May 12th at the Powderhorn. Let's see, May 16th, we're going to be at Old Baldy down in Saratoga. And then May 19th, a little closer to my neck of the woods and pulling at the heartstrings for me a little bit, is the Wyoming versus South Dakota border battle. We've got 12 teams from South Dakota and 12 teams from Wyoming all battling it out for a fun trophy to take and pass around their state. So looking forward to that one. If you haven't signed up yet, hop online, and we've got a couple spots left for that one, I know for sure.
Yeah, and these other tournaments as well, I mean, one, you're working with Hunting for Heroes, which obviously does a lot for veterans in Wyoming, and then turn around and it's all, you know, conservation driven. So it's kind of cool to see all these events going on. And are the golf tournaments, are these a new thing for the Mule Deer Foundation?
You know, they're not necessarily a new thing. They've been doing them for a few years down at our headquarters in Utah. Had one in South Dakota up in Belfouche last year. They've been around, but they're gaining in popularity. And for us, it's kind of a fun way to get people that may not be wanting to sit in a room for a banquet for hours and in the spring get outside and do something fun and really still support the Mule Deer Foundation, raise some much needed funds, and just have a good time while you're doing it.
Well, it's going to be awesome. And I encourage you, if you haven't yet, go follow the Mule Deer Foundation of Wyoming on Facebook. You can go to the website, which is muledeer.org/Wyoming, to keep up with all of these events that are going on. And just because they're not in our region here in Casper doesn't mean you can't participate in them, because it's all in the name of mule deer. And Eric, it's very nice to meet you and chat with you. And I'm sure we'll be gabbing back and forth quite a bit over the years.
That sounds great. Look forward to it.
We appreciate everything. Again, go check them out on Facebook It's the Mule Deer Foundation of Wyoming. And kind of circling back just a little bit to talk about some of the banquets and golf tournaments coming up. Eric did mention a few of these just a couple of minutes ago, but keep them in mind. May 3rd, annual banquet in Laramie. That'll be a great one to head down south and chat with some of those hunters and conservationists there. But then when it comes to the golf tournaments, May 12th, the Bighorn Mountains golf tournament, the Powderhorn, going to be a great opportunity. Again, going, that's a Monday, May 12th. Then on the 19th of May, they're doing the Wyoming-South Dakota Border Battle Golf Tournament. And lots of fun in the southern part of the state with the second annual Mule Deer and Heroes Golf Tournament and banquet at Old Baldy Club in Saratoga, one of my favorite places to go. And not only are you supporting the great opportunities with Mule Deer, but supporting Hunting for Heroes and Hunting with Heroes. And I know that they're getting low on spots on this one, so if it's something you're interested in, get over to the MDF Wyoming Facebook page, and you can find out all the information, how much it's going to cost you, what the dates are, the times are. Well worth it to help raise awareness for mule deer. That's going to wrap us up for this week. We appreciate you listening. Again, you can go listen to all of our episodes in the radio station's app. We have lots of shows over the last 3.5-4 years, so lots to listen to. If you're heading out on a trip, might as well download it and play us right along with you. Have a great week.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.